Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
We are live in Athens today, getting you ready for Georgia, Alabama, Atlanta. What's going on? It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying,
hey, man.
Hanging out at our favorite spot.
Man, I've waited to do that for a while.
Rusty's here.
Extra hey, man. That's Rusty Mansell.
Hanging out at Grindhouse Killer Burgers, guys, right here off of Lumpkin. This spot, we've been here for years coming through. Big shout out to Johnny. Thank you guys and his staff. We are going to be here until 6 o'clock, so if you want to come through, we'd love to get a chance to see you. But we waste no time, Mike, because our man Rusty Mansell, you hear him on the Steakhouse. He is our dog insider. He's our college football insider, our high school football insider.
He's a confidant of Kirby Smart.
And Rusty was like, God, hey, fellas, I'm going to come on by and hang out with you. And we were like, perfect. So great way to get the show started. First of all, man, how you doing before we get
doing
to this game?
Good, man. You can feel the buzz. I was pulling in, staying out for Retta last night, and I pulled in up 316. I was like, man, this is big weekend. It's
feel
backed
it.
Up. You see the RVs yep. on – It's back. When you see the RVs backed up at red lights, it's grown man time.
Well, look, Alabama yep. comes in here, and we'll break down this matchup with Rusty here. 404-726-0929. We invite you to text us. We know you have thoughts. We'll be talking about the game throughout the course of the show. Plenty of Falcons conversation as well. But, Rusty, a lot of this week has been about what Kirby hasn't been able to do consistently.
Correct.
Right? That is beat Alabama. 1-6. Everybody knows the record.
Right.
Most of that was with Nick Saban.
Yep.
Okay, last year you go their place, Tuscaloosa. You get back in the game. You had a shot to win it. We know what happened. Mm-hmm. How important is this for Kirby, not just the program, not just this team, but for Kirby at home tomorrow?
I think it's important. I think it's important for every goal, you know, to win a big game at home. It's Alabama. It's a resume builder. You put it on your resume. Mm-hmm. You already beat Tennessee on the road. Nobody's going undefeated in SEC.
I agree.
Nobody's going undefeated. So each one of these big wins you put on your resume is kind of money in the bank. So when you start talking about one game perspective, it's a huge game there. Listen, Kirby's a competitor. Kirby was at Alabama for a long time. He understands what's at stake here. He knows, you know, he's done everything. He's won multiple national championships. They've won 33 home games in a row. They haven't lost since 2019 at home. It was four turnovers and two overtimes in that game. They've done it all. They haven't beaten Alabama but one time in seven tries. So he understands. I think he understands the scope. And, you know, I think about this team. And these kids, they want to play hard for Kirby. They understand, too, hey, man, we want to win this game, but let's win this one for our coach, too. I think that's a lot to it now. When you start talking about getting a game, you're going to get that extra from your team. Like, hey, let's do it for our dude.
Is Mike Bobo going to try to run the ball more? Because my initial thoughts were neither team can really pass rush,
yes.
and neither team can really stop a wide receiver.
Yeah.
So a high-scoring game, or does Bobo, not to be cliche, but try to take the air out of the ball because you can run the ball maybe better than Bama?
Well, yeah. I mean, obviously, if you can run the football in a game like this, you keep Alabama's high-powered offense off the field. So that's the key. You know what I mean? They're going to take shots at you. You look at that wide receiver core from Alabama, they're better than Tennessee's wide receiver core. And so how do you combat that? Running the football, control the clock, all those things. Georgia's questions on offensive line are going to be that true freshman playing right guard, Dontrell Glover from Langston Hughes. You're going to put Bo Hughley. Oh, by the way, Dontrell Glover and Bo Hughley played together at Langston Hughes. If I'd have told them 3 years ago, hey, guys, y'all enjoy the state championship game, you're going to be getting Bama in a couple couple of years side by side.
That's
you know,
wild.
So you got some questions there. Ernest Green's already been ruled out. Kid has started 23 games.
Right.
So the question there, and I'll say this too, I think Georgia's wide receivers are underrated. I think they got some guys there that, look, they went out and spent. They went out and spent in that. And you had a kid like London Humphreys who comes out of nowhere and catches that damn ball against Tennessee and made a lifetime memory.
Unbelievable. That catch was great. Look, we talk about the throw. Go back and watch that slow-mo. you try to catch a ball like this over your head.
Dropped it in the bucket.
Right? And, yep. And the concentration. Got to get my feet in, right? Mm-hmm. I got all the things that went into that. Rusty Menzel hanging out with us here at Grindhouse Killer Burgers. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, as we get ready for the big matchup tomorrow here in Athens. So I think, Rusty, this running back group is really good too.
Yeah.
And in the second half, I was talking about this in, you know, during the game when Georgia came out in the second half against Tennessee. Kirby's like, we're pounding these fools.
Yeah.
We're going to pound them and see if they can stop the run. And more importantly, we're going to wear them down. And I thought the big backs did that. Can they do that in this game?
So you look at Josh McQuarrie, the kid that came from Illinois. That was the first time you've seen him. You know what I mean?
Right.
He had some health issues. He dealt with some stuff during fall camp. I think Nate Frazier. I think the emergence of Chauncey Bowens, the kid out of Florida. He's a 215, 210-pound big back. But I think Josh McQuarrie, if you go back and watch that game, those third and ones and those tough yards, ultimately in overtime, he's the one that scored a touchdown. Strain. You remember Kirby chewing the tail out of Nate Frazier in that Austin Peay game? He goes, if you read his effing strain, strain for that extra yard.
Get the extra.
Put the ball in. And you look at McQuarrie, he did that. So I think Georgia's running game, look, they don't have a Nick Chubb or Sony Michel. They don't have DeAndre Swift right now. It doesn't mean they can't be good as a group. And I think the most underrated thing talking about running backs is the ability to break the first tackle. Get me third and three. Don't make it third and seven.
Mm.
I mean, we got one in Atlanta. Bijan is the top running back in NFL. I don't give a damn. Him and Jahmyr Gibbs, give me either one. Everybody's that. Give me third and three. Break the freaking tackle and let's move the chains.
Rusty Menzel with us, guys, at Grindhouse here in Athens. A lot was made of the recruitment of Dalen Everett.
Yeah.
Because he's supposed to be one of the best kids in the country. So. Mm. Is it just a slow?
They flipped him late from Clemson.
Is it a slow learning curve? Is he doing what they're asking him to do?
Well,
in this
Dalen
defense?
Everett's the one that's really got his side. You may be talking about Ellis Robinson. Ellis Robinson was the 5-star number one player America from ESPN. He was number one player of all in the class of 2024. So it's been a development with him.
Okay.
You know, he's got all the tools. He's got all the target. He's got all the tools as a 6-foot corner. But I'll tell you this: I was there in Knoxville, and I thought, okay, here's Ellis Robinson coming in. My guy, Tennessee didn't waste any time. They didn't give a damn. He was 5-star. They went right at him.
Yeah.
And it got him on that third play. Mm. And he had to bring Daniel Harris back in. These are elite athletes. And when you see these guys in person, if Daniel Harris walking in right now, you go, oh, my God. This guy's 6'2.5", 205 pounds. You got to make a play on the ball in the air. You got to be able to make the play. Dalen Everett has really done a really good job on the other side. But right now, that CB2 for Georgia, they're going to get some shots at them tomorrow.
And that's Kirby's thing, because that's what, you know, Kirby, just like Saban, coach of the secondary. So
always.
You imagine there was a lot of work this week.
Oh, the two bye weeks? Oh, yeah. I can't imagine how many balls they got thrown at them. Like those jugs machines, those things were launching at those guys. No question.
7:30 tomorrow night, Sanford Stadium right here in Athens. It's Dukes and Bell. Our man Rusty hanging out with us. And listen to him on the Steakhouse, by the way, every, you know, what is that?
Thursday.
For sure. But
Thursdays,
you jump in there periodically.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And Steak's on from 9 to 11, guys, here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Rusty, what's going on with the D-line? We keep talking about pressure, getting pressure. We're not getting enough pressure. We don't get enough sacks. What's happening there, in your opinion, and why is that not look or doesn't look like we want it to?
Don't panic yet on the D-line, because at Georgia, you guys know this, kind of the negative recruiting against Georgia, you're not going to get stats on the D-line. You look at Trayvon Walker. In 3 years at Georgia, he only had 9 sacks. The last 2 years in NFL, he's had 20. You know, they want you to eat up blocks and allow those guys. They want you to allow Jalen Walker, Smile Mundon, N'Kobe Dean, all those guys. Where you're not seeing the penetration and the negative plays right now is from the third down package. Last year, when they got third down, you knew number 11's ass was coming off the edge and you had to be ready.
Yeah.
It was shot out of a cannon. And then if it wouldn't, it was Smile Mundon blitzing from inside. Right now, they've kind of been unable to create that pressure. Tennessee was ready for it. So you go to 2 weeks off and you say, okay, what are we going to redo? We hadn't worked so far. What do we recreate? I also think Elijah Griffin, the 5-star, number one rated defensive lineman in America out of Savannah, number 90. His reps have been increasing. I think he's going to be a big piece of the puzzle tomorrow night.
Carl was asking me after the Florida State game, how did they shut down Alabama? I thought Alabama's play calling was a bit suspect. But I thought Tony White, the Florida DC, basically just kind of rushing three, a lot of nickel and dime. Was blitzing selectively. Can you get the pressure? But if they got pressure from the down line.
Yep.
So to your point, can you get that pressure from Georgia's
down
line?
You got to win one-on-ones. You got to win one-on-one. Sometimes it's just can my three-tech beat your guard? You know what I mean? And go out and create a – we had Jalen Carter. We had Devontae White.
Right.
We had Jordan Davis. All those guys would win one-on-ones. And then you sprinkle in, you know, five stars out on the edge. It was pick your poison. Right now they're having to kind of make up for that.
And then as far as, you know, the Wake Us Melzahn was doing all the zone reads. Alabama looked like they'd never seen it before.
Let me tell you something. Thomas Castellanos, I covered him in high school at Ware County. Kirby Smart begged him, please come play running back at Georgia. Please come play running back. And to credit for Thomas Castellanos, he said, did. Coach, I'm playing quarterback. I'm going to Boston College. Right. And then Florida State's like, you come here and run this with Gus, and it's on. But with ball in his hand, he's electric. Man, he always has been.
Do they try to do any of the things? I thought they're going to reinvent the offense, but any nuances, you think, to try to get Bama looking sideways?
Yeah, I mean, they're going to – obviously, Gunnar Stockton's going to be involved. He doesn't have the suddenness of Thomas Castellanos, but Gunnar's ability to run the football is a big part of his game. They shut it down. After he got hit in that Austin Peay game early, they shut it down. They had no run game with him. So you go to Tennessee, he had 13 carries. You know, he's going to have 10 or 12 carries tomorrow.
He runs hard, too. We're talking about
Gunnar. He's a lot bigger in person. People are like, is he short? I'm like, dude's 6'1 and a half. Yeah. The problem is he's thick, lower body. It makes him look short. Mm-hmm. I asked him the other day, I said, when I passed him, I came over to pick up something for a fundraiser, and I just passed him. I said, Gunnar, why does everybody not believe you're 6'1? He goes, Mr. Mansell, I have no idea. He just blew it off, you know?
He runs hard, man. We're talking about dogs and Bama tomorrow night here in Athens. Rusty, as far as when you look at Gunnar, the prove-it moment was Tennessee, right?
Yep.
Now how much confidence do his teammates have?
It's invaluable.
Right? Because you go into that game, you're like, man, I think so. I see him at practice. Invaluable. I mean, he makes throws, but can he do it when it matters
invaluable.
Most?
Invaluable. And you look at everybody. Listen, y'all know this. Everybody there loves the kid.
Yes,
he's done everything the right way. Those players love him. Those coaches love him. At the end of the day, you have to do it on Saturdays. And he hadn't really shown yet. He's had a half against Texas and kind of battled against Notre Dame, do what he did. He hadn't shown that. So when you walk in and you're down 21-7, and then you're down 38-30, I saw Gunnar after the game in the locker room, and you see him, like the look in his eye, and you hear those people. You cannot buy the respect that he earned that night. Now, all the questions answered for him, they're not. There's still questions on Gunnar. He's still got to have intermediate passing game, decision-making, those types of things. But the respect to say, I'm going to stand in that huddle, and these 10 other dudes believe I can get it done, that's invaluable.
Rusty Mansell is with us, guys. We're going to talk plenty of Falcons today because we got
I'm going to get out here before that.
Carl was on the radio.
I'm out of here before that.
We got some shocking news from the Commanders about who they're going to make as one of their captains for the Falcons. So stay tuned for that. And while we got you, you will, sir, talk Falcons.
Oh, boy. I got a William Andrews jersey
on. The pistol to not to pistol. I mean, you think it's much to do about nothing or about the execution? I mean, nobody likes it.
I'll say this. Mike Johnson, I respect him as much as I do anybody. He carries as much weight as anybody on our station. He says it's vanilla, and he's in over his head.
Wow.
You know, I mean, I don't know what else to tell you.
Right?
Yeah.
This guy's been in a run game NFL career. He understands points, spreads, where you're at stance-wise. Right. What are we doing here? What are we trying to create? He says it's vanilla, boys. It worries me to death. It worries me to death. That's a great interview, y'all, with Ra, man. I loved it. I love y'all.
Well, look,
my favorite one every week, y'all with Ra and with Barbara Doolin. Because
Barbara delivers,
when Barbara walks in at 4 o'clock, everybody just sits down and shuts up. Man. It's on. It's her time, man. I love it.
Rusty, man, we love your work. Thank you for hanging out with us today.
Appreciate you, man.
I know you're going to be in and around Athens. If you see Rusty, say hello, man.
Yeah, man.
I think the Dogs win tomorrow. I think it's close, but I think they win
tomorrow. High-scoring game?
I have it 27-24.
Okay.
In the words of Randy McMichael, it's time to put belt to ass.
It's true. Let's go.
It's fine.
Right on.
I mean, this is year 10.
Let's go.
Georgia shouldn't be intimidated by anybody. I know what history is.
Right.
Go out and fight your ass off. This is your school. This is your building. You got a record. You got a streak right here. You know you're fighting for your coach. It's belt to ass time.
Rusty Mansell, guys, follow him on social media as well. Check out Dogs HQ, all the things he's involved in. We're coming back. We're at Grindhouse Killer Burgers. And when we do, it's setting up for a bad situation. It's Dukes and Bell.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Big shout out to Rusty Menzel for stopping by, hanging out with us here at Grindhouse Killer Burgers, Athens, right here off of Lumpkin. It is Dukes and Bell, guys, and we got a lot to get to with the Falcons, and we'll certainly talk more about the Dogs. But Rusty laying the foundation for what he thinks they've got to do tomorrow night against Alabama. It's not going to be easy. It never is. But I think, again, Mike, if they can do some of the things we've been talking about, they will be tested. I just feel like, you know what, this home field advantage thing matters, and they'll be able to pull out a win. But it's going to be interesting to see how this back and forth goes. He said, what, 27-24? You think it may be a little bit higher?
Well,
than
that just – I mean, it really is a matter of the strategy that Mike Bobo is going to use, because you could argue if you just let it rip, then sure, the over-under is going to be easy. It'll be just like the Tennessee game. But if you run the football effectively, and I think you can run the ball, I think you can definitely run the ball against Alabama, that maybe takes – you know, I'm, again, taking air out of the ball. They can still go down the field if you don't tighten up your secondary. So now I was really liking the over after talking to Rusty. Now I'm maybe not going to touch that. Maybe not. Love the Dogs at 3. 3.5 seems like a bit much. You know, and right now it is at 3, right?
I believe so, yes. I believe it went down. Yes, I think it is. We'll have to take a look, and we'll give you our official picks coming up here in just a little bit as well. Here's the irony, guys, as we are at Grindhouse. So today, actually a couple of days back, 106.7, the Fan up in D.C., they hit me up. They said, Dukes, I'm heard up there on the national show. So they said, hey, will you come on and talk about the Falcons game this weekend? I said, yeah. What time do you guys want to do it? So they said, hey, probably around 1 o'clock. I said, well, I'll be in the car. I'm driving to Athens. They said, fine. So, Mike, we get on. I do this whole interview, and they're talking about all the things we've been discussing because D.C. and Commander fans are wondering what the heck is going on with our team.
Right.
Guys getting fired. What's going on with the offense? Why did they look so bad? So they're asking all these things. So they ask me, hey, well, what does Atlanta think about Marcus Mariota? I start screaming. Don't even go there. Don't even start this. Don't you dare say it. And they're going, what's wrong? We don't understand. They had no idea what had transpired here with Marcus Mariota. Commander fans, why would they? They weren't watching. And I said, this dude quit on us, right? He should have been a mentor. He took his ball. He went home. It was just a bad ending to what was a mediocre season. They, in tune, then say, we love him up here. Dan staff loves him.
Right.
And then I go, well, great. And then they go, oh, by the way, Dukes, he's been named a captain for Sunday.
Yeah, so now this sets up so perfectly for the Falcons to lose to Marcus Mariota as a captain and watch him take a Jeff George-like victory lap, as Jeff George did at the Georgia Dome for Falcon fans of a certain age. Look, I hope our defense has something to say about this. He is still mobile. You know, look, he's a journeyman, Carl.
He is.
That's for kids that are listening at home, that
bum.
Means bum.
Bum.
But in this case, he's going to have summoned something now, but he won't have Terry McLaurin to throw the football to because he don't look like he's good to go. And as we said, Jaden McDaniels is definitely not going to play from what I read. But to me, Carl, it's about us scoring points. I mean, like, you don't have all these weapons, all these first-round picks, and you can't get the ball in the end zone. The red zone has got to stop being the dead zone. Everybody around the country is now looking at us and saying, wow, maybe Zach Robinson is the first coach off of the Sean McVay tree. And I joked around with you 2 weeks ago. I said, maybe he's going to be the stump off the Sean McVay coaching tree. Because this guy really seems to be like they're sticking to their guns. You know, as I said to you the other day, you mentioned the pistol, they all roll their eyes. Like they're sick of hearing about it. Well, then execute it.
Execute.
Make it work.
That's the key. And look, they'll get another shot Sunday. This is not hyperbole. If we don't look good offensively Sunday, there could easily be more heads rolling. And I mean that. Because the head coach knows that this thing is escalating. You should have got to the playoffs last year. Whatever happened, happened. Somebody's got to be held accountable. That's Raheem Morris. You come back. You address the things you need to in the draft. Your defense looks like it's going to be better. Hey, look at our offensive weapons. And then no wide receiver or tight end has a touchdown on the season. More heads will roll, Mike, if this thing doesn't look better on Sunday. And I said to you, look, as a Falcon fan, I want to get a win. If we win by 1 point, I know people are going to be like, yay, whoop-dee-doo. But I also feel like if that win comes with a defensive touchdown and two field goals and the offense still doesn't do anything, it doesn't answer the questions that we have regarding this offense.
Now, it's at 1-3, you know, all of a sudden the sky, if it's not falling to some fans, it will be falling. 2-2 is kind of where a lot of fans thought we'd be the first 4 weeks.
I agree.
You know, because the Bucs is a tough divisional game. I don't think we anticipated Minnesota being as bad as they were. They came right back the next week and they cranked it up. Basically, what we need to be is what Minnesota was. As lifeless as Minnesota looked, they looked like world beaters against Cincinnati the following week.
They did. It's a league. It's here's the interesting thing about the NFL. It is literally a week-to-week league. It's why it's so hard to gamble on this league.
Yes.
Because you go, man, they look terrible. And Mike and I were talking about this. Right now, Vegas is begging you, right? Begging you to take the Falcons because they're like, oh, look at this spread. Everybody's on the Commanders. It's really interesting. Now, they want money on both sides, but this is why this league is so hard to handicap. But look, I've been saying it all week. They're going to show up. I just don't know if they'll execute on offense. By the way, more on our offensive coordinator as we move along and some of the things he had to say to us this week. We're live at Grindhouse Killer Burgers in Athens. This hour is brought to you by Wise Guys Pro Wash. Let Wise Guys brighten your holidays this year. Coming up a little bit later on, we'll go behind enemy lines of our own and head to Washington to find out from our ESPN affiliate there what's going on with the Commanders. We'll get an injury update, but Mike mentioned it. The two guys that we didn't think were going to play, it's Friday, they're not playing. Terry McLaurin is out, and if you are naming Marcus Mariota a captain, he's playing on Sunday. So that is where we're at heading into this game on Sunday.
And a little bit later, guys, in Guy Talking, the 4 o'clock for golf fans out there, the Ryder Cup kicked off today in Bethpage. And dare I say, Carl, it was a beatdown in the morning session of foursomes. They lost 3-1, and they're grinding here at the Grindhouse, pardon the pun, doing a little bit better in this afternoon session. But, yeah, it's 3-1. For people who don't understand, the scoring system is a little convoluted. That's big.
It is.
And we need to just be even, Steven, and then kind of show out on Sunday. So right now the USA's got a hole to dig out of, and hopefully they can. But, man, you said it. Fleetwood and Rory were just on fire.
The crowd is waiting for the American team to do something to spark this energy. Like, and guys have hit great shots. The putting was off this morning, but, you know, this is a unique competition. But, man, the energy is just waiting to explode. But our guys didn't give them that this morning. They're playing that the second part of the first day here this afternoon.
And the Euros are up right now in 3 of the 4 matches.
Yeah.
So, again, you lose those today, then it's pretty much over. You got really no shot. It'd have to be a collapse,
yes,
by the Europeans on Saturday.
More on that coming up. Call us. Let us know what you think. We'd love to hear from you. 404-726-0929. Find us on social media. He's Mike Bell, ATL. And I'm at Put 'Em Up. See Dukes, the radio show. Dukes and Bell 929. And follow the radio station at 929 The Game. Big O back at the studio. Let's get to the daily download.
Story number one.
Well, first things first, guys, it's our Atlanta Falcons, and this game on Sunday is a must win. Look, we've been saying it to you, that there's no beating around the bush, but we asked Coach Ra this week, what about this quarterback position? What do you think they're going to do? He said they had to prepare for both.
You know, Marcus went out there and got a big-time win from last week. Obviously, the age difference is different, but the game plan won't change as much for the guy who's calling it, right? He may run the ball a little bit more, whether you're talking about with Marcus or you're talking about with Jaden, but those are just the things you got to be ready for. So, like, we got a good picture of what Marcus is going to do next week and last week and how that looked. And when they get there, we'll be prepared. You know, our defense is ready to deal. A lot of the similar stuff that we know, Cliff Kingsbury is the constant, and we know what it looks like and got to be ready to prepare for that.
Going to tell you guys right now, we got to tackle on Sunday.
Right.
We got to tackle, man.
Look, if you could have tackled Baker Mayfield and our kicker could make a field goal, you know, we might actually be on the other side of this. We'd be 2-1 and feeling completely different about the season. But that's why we are so kind of like right now in flux. And Falcon fans are nervous. Got a right to be. You know, your kicker blows it if you didn't address the kicking situation in the offseason. Second week of the season, your defense plays great. The one touchdown you scored, Carl, Minnesota let you score to get the ball back. And then, of course, we all know what happened last week. One of the worst losses. In 7 years of not making the playoffs, now going on 8, this was one of the worst losses I've seen.
No doubt. Michael Penix talked about the Commanders' defense and what he's seeing and what he expects on Sunday.
Yeah, good defense. You know, I feel like they show a lot of different things. You know, I feel like between last year and this year, they're pretty similar structure. You know, I feel like they have an identity, and they've been doing good with it. And it's going to be a good game.
Let's hope so. Mike, you asked me yesterday, did I trust Kyler Murray? The answer is no. I don't know if you saw the game last night, Thursday Night Football on Amazon Prime. Last-second field goal, which, look, I hope our game doesn't come down to that. But it did for Seattle. They end up winning the game 23-20 over Arizona. But there's something going on with Marvin Harrison Jr., Mike. There is something going on.
Now, last year, I put it more on – I honestly, I thought more about the quarterback. I thought that he wasn't getting the ball to him. He was missing him when he was open. And now this year, he's getting the ball in his hands, and he's dropping everything. Marvin Harrison Jr. literally does like kind of a hot potato ball thrown on the money in traffic. He literally just coughs it up, goes the other way. And if you're Kyler Murray, you're literally – you're. And I look, I get it. You want to try to keep your emotions in check. You don't want to, like, show up a guy. But if ever there was a time to give your guy a dirty look, it was last night, and he did, and everybody saw it. So, yeah, I have no idea. Your dad's one of the greatest wide receivers to ever dress out. You were too big to do the combine, too big to do individual workouts, and now you look like a bust.
He does. And by the way, the real question about Kyler Murray is he already got his bag. Are they ever going to win anything?
No.
Are they ever going to win anything?
You just feel like with Tua, they're just kind of in this – well, granted, we're looking up at them, but they're just kind of at this area where the ceiling is playoffs but never going any farther.
All right, guys, when we come back live at Grindhouse Killer Burgers, Dan Orlowski joined Turtle last night on the night show. I want you to hear what he said about what he thinks about Zach moving down to the field. That's our offensive coordinator. And also Penix's footwork. Stay there. It's Dukes and Bell live in Athens.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
It is Dukes and Bell. Rusty Manziel stopped by to get the show started, talking about these dogs in Alabama tomorrow night here in Athens. It's going to be a fun game. We're going to break down some other college games. Big weekend, by the way, when you talk about the matchups.
Yeah, man. Oregon and Penn State. And a lot of folks feel that, you know, Coach Franklin could probably win this game, but can he win the big one later in the season? And, you know, Dan Lanning, you know, he's got his own little thing he's got to get over, you know, when it comes to winning some of those bigger games. While we're here, guys, at Grindhouse on Lumpkin in Athens, I want to give a shout-out to a great family. Don't they look like the family?
They're great.
They look like the picture comes with the frame when you're at, like, Walmart. But anyway, it's his lovely sister. That's Dylan over there, and that's Grady, and great young man. So I asked Grady, I go, are you a Falcons fan? He goes, yeah. He goes, but it's hard. They've been really bad much of my life. I go, well, how old are you? He goes, I'm 11. Well, yeah, 9 of his 11 years on this planet, the Falcons have not been very good.
Yeah, and you were too young when they went to the Super Bowl. So, yeah, probably. That's probably true. Look, they went to the Super Bowl. See what I'm saying? He didn't even know.
But isn't that great?
He didn't even know.
I love how he's like, yeah, much of my life this team hasn't been good.
It's hard, man. It can be hard. But hopefully it gets better
this
weekend.
We're going to turn things around
this weekend
against Captain Marcus Mariota and those Commanders.
Oh, my goodness. Last night, Turtle, who used to produce our show, he's on at nights now, and you get a chance to hear him. Chris had a chance to visit with Dan Orlowski. Orlowski got a lot of pub this week because he went on ESPN and publicly said, here's what's wrong with this Falcon offense. And a lot of people who don't watch his team are like, oh, okay. People who watch his team are like, oh, okay. So I just want you to hear a few things that he talked about because, again, whether you like the formation of the pistol or you don't, whether you think we're doing the wrong things, I think there's a lot that plays into this. It's not just one thing. But Orlowski was asked by Turtle last night whether or not he feels like this lack of downfield passing. We don't attack people down the field. It's a strength.
It's plotting.
Yes, it's a strength for Michael Penix. We have to threaten down the field. And so Orlowski was asked that question. Here's how he answered it.
Yeah, the way that I believe football and the ability to throw the ball downfield is attached to two things. One, and you guys in Atlanta know this, you have a freak at wide receiver that you could just throw the ball to. You had him for about 10 years. His name was Julio Jones. Julio was one of those guys that you could just line up out there and launch the ball deep to him, no matter what your action was, no matter what the coverage was. They don't have that right now. Or two, you have to play action defenses with the style of defense nowadays. You have to create a vertical strain and then gashes in the defense that are about 20-plus yards deep. You not running play action and then doing it out of the pistol, in my opinion, you're not doing that as impactful as it's needed. You're not – think about it from this regard, okay, guys? First down and 10. I'm underneath the center. I'm Michael Penix. I open up to my left, and I show a ball fake to Bijan Robinson 3 yards from the line of scrimmage, and I put the ball in his belly, and then all of a sudden that defense is like, oh, my God, we got to run to the football. And then all of a sudden I pull the ball out of his belly, and I get to 8 yards deep in the pocket. Now I've taken the linebackers who were 5 yards from the line of scrimmage. I've brought them to the line of scrimmage. The safety has to get deep with a player like Mooney, so Mooney's 20 yards downfield now. I have 20 yards of space that I can throw the football in the middle of the field, okay? Now, if I'm on the pistol, the defense doesn't feel Bijan like that. The second-level linebacker doesn't feel Bijan like that because I'm just turning around and placing the ball. Guess what? They can see everything. They see the whole thing. So there's no fear for them. There's no urgency for them to get downhill. And so that goes back to, I just think there's not enough of that in their offense. And everyone was like, I'm not calling for Zach Robinson to be fired, or I'm not calling for their jobs. I just think they're in it too much, and they're not straining the defense enough, in my opinion, to push the ball vertically.
Versatility. You can run that, but you've got to show me some versatile stuff along with that, to at least have me believing what Dan is saying,
right,
which is, oh, when they go here, as I said, Mike, they run the ball. Well, I don't need to play the pass or know where the tight end is. That is absolutely true, but that gets back to this flow of play calling we've been talking about for
right.
3 weeks.
And that's why, you know, I said it last year. At first, you and I were so confused by what we were doing with Kirk Cousins. So we just kind of chalked it up to Kirk not being 100%. And look, as you said yesterday, this offense did produce results. We did have two times that man was the offensive player of the week in the NFC, put up 500 yards. It's still the single-game passing record for the franchise, and that did happen in the pistol. But with Michael Penix Jr. and the way we're running the football now, to me it's like everything you heard Dan Orlovsky say. Why can't you just get this? Unless it's a comfort thing with Penix or Zach Robinson doesn't have the vision to say, look, I know you've got a lot of experience in shotgun from UW, but we're going to be under center now. And a lot of quarterbacks have to make that transition in the NFL. But the play action just opens up so many different things for this team that should make things easier for Penix. And right now, nothing seems to be easy for Michael Penix.
Yeah, and don't make the easy things hard. That's the other part about this. Like this, some of this is not that complicated. It may sound complicated. It's not. 404-726-0929. You guys can text us. Let us know what you think.
Receivers got to do their jobs too, though.
Got to get open.
Arch brought this up. Dave Archer, you can rewind. That was Tuesday's interview. They're not where they need to be on the field schematically, so they're not lined up properly at times. That's, you know, if that's what Ike Hilliard got fired for, so be it. But there better be some results on Sunday. Are we going to be talking about another anemic offensive performance?
God, I hope
not. Come on, man.
I hope not. Here's Dan Orlovsky talking about moving Zach Robinson, that's Z-Rob, that's what they call him, our OC, down to the field and the advantages of it.
Yeah, I you know, there's pros and cons, right? I mean, I've been a part of teams that have done this. You know, you're there if you're the coach and the quarterback, you're there with each other talking in between every series, right? And so you're face to face, you're looking at pictures together. You're not having to have this conversation. Like you can look at this picture and have a little bit more of a detailed conversation. You know, Zach could have more conversations with the linemen or the tight ends or the backs or what they're seeing. And, you know, so there could be a little bit more direct conversation or group conversation. So I do think that, like, in that realm or in that aspect, it's a beneficial thing. You know, it'll be interesting because I think it changes Zach's, you know, vantage point. Obviously, sitting up in the box, you've got a much higher view or much elevated view of what the defense is doing and what's going on. So, you know, there's a lot of moving parts to it. He's got a really difficult job. Calling plays is tough. So, calling plays is tough, you know. And so, you know, hopefully that expedites some of the communication issues that they've reportedly had.
Let's hope so.
Right.
I said last week that the most discouraging thing was when we were struggling, nobody was over there talking to Michael Penix. And when I say nobody, like
right.
offensive staff.
I think Yates was there. We just maybe didn't catch it on TV or not. I don't know.
I just felt like in those moments, Mike, where he is on the struggle bus, you got to have people trying to let him see what he needs to be seeing. And again, whether it's on those pads they use, on those Microsoft pads, or whether it's just communication. Let's hope that works.
Right.
One other thing from Dan Orlowski. It's Dukes and Bell. We're live at Grindhouse Killer Burgers.
Great
in
job
Athens.
By Chris last night. Turtle House on the radio right here, 6 to whenever last night.
Yeah, he did the short show because he had the right. Thursday night football on. But one more thing with Orlowski. He talked about footwork. Look, this is something that maybe most people aren't paying attention to, but quarterbacks do. So when he was asked about, okay, maybe what else is going on here, Dan Orlowski was talking about our quarterback and his footwork also playing a role into the bad passes. Mike, the pick six he throws right. off the back
totally
foot.
Totally flat-footed. Just, yeah, mechanics are awful.
Awful right now. Let's hear Dan answer that.
When the quarterback is in the pistol and the gun often, I just think it's really difficult to marry his feet and the timing of throws to routes and route concepts. Because I think quarterbacks that are in the gun more often than not, they live in this catch and throw world, and they're very much so reactive rather than proactive. When you're a quarterback underneath the center, you're trained, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, first hitch goes there, second hitch goes there in the pass concept, and the depth of those routes is attached to the timing of that, right? Like it takes me 1.7 seconds to get to the top of my drop and a 5-step. In the gun, it's hard to gauge that. And so I think, you know, Michael living in the pistol and the gun, just for me, I think, again, it goes back to promoting a little bit of like a lack of urgency, a lack of timing.
Dan Orlowski may be right about all of this. He may not. I feel like he's right about a lot of it. And right. at the end of the day, it doesn't mean that you go in, because this is his assessment, and nor will the Falcons do this, and change everything you're doing. But you got to adapt, and you certainly have to realize, and they're watching the film too, Mike, to know that doesn't look good, we're not doing this well, how do we tweak that enough to make it better? Those are the things that have to happen. They're not going to come out and not run the pistol on Sunday.
Right. Jimmy hits us up on the text line. He goes, pardon my ignorance, where did Zach Robinson come from? He came from the Rams.
Yes.
He was a quarterback's coach with the Rams under Sean McVay. Everybody who's left Sean McVay's tutelage has gone on to do really good things, like Zach Taylor with the Bengals. Other coaches are having success around the league.
Kevin O'Connell
up in Minnesota. We just saw them. And obviously he fixed things pretty darn quick after what happened with us up in Minnesota, losing J.J. McCarthy and having to pivot to Carson Wentz. So this is what Matthew Stafford is doing. This is why you and I brought this up last year. You know, you want to see Pitts be more dynamic. The tight end was not dynamic in the Rams' defense. Really wasn't. I mean, a Rams offense, I should say. It was Puka Nacua. It was Cooper Kupp a couple years back. So that's why I wonder sometimes if this is a miscast offensive coordinator for the type of talent. Now we've moved on to Michael Penix Jr.
What do you guys think, man? Dan Orlowski, full interviews online at Odyssey.com. You can check it out. But those are some things that jumped out to us that he said last night. And, again, I don't want you to hear all of this and go, they're doing it all wrong. This is one ex-quarterback's opinion. Right. And he's an analyst. And I'm not telling you he's wrong or right about everything. But it's somewhere in between. And I think what he's talking about when you say marry, that is that rhythm from a quarterback to – 5-step, 8-foot drop, I turn, my receiver's making his cut. My receiver's where he's supposed to be, and I can deliver the ball. You don't get that in the pistol. So the timing of our routes, think about our completions. They've just been off. Penix has been behind guys.
Right.
He's been in front of them. He sailed balls.
Yeah, and he missed a bunch of throws.
Right?
You can't put it on Zach Robinson. He's overthrown badly a bunch of receivers, to your point, in the Carolina game. But this goes back to, and I asked a question of Zach on Wednesday. I said, what about streamlining the offense? Because remember watching quarterback with Kirk Cousins? Kirk Cousins talked about all the pre-snap motion. Here's a guy who's been in the NFL for a decade and a half, and he's struggling with it. So how do we expect Michael Penix Jr. starting his sixth game? So, but apparently, I'm not saying there's a level of hubris, but okay, there's a level of hubris here. Okay, it's almost like our stuff doesn't stink, and what do you think you know? And I just don't see it, and that's why I just think, you know, this game is humbling, and they'll be humbled if they continue to do it like this.
Humble yourself.
Dang right.
I think they got humbled last week, but look, if you don't make changes, and I'm not saying they won't, I think they have made tweaks this week, but we need to see it. As the fan base, we need to see how that looks.
Look. And the other part of this, and what I hate is, you know, it's just six games into his career. You and I, we had everybody and their uncle tell me when I was saying it was the stupidest move in the world to sign Kirk Cousins to draft Penix. And guys go, no, this is great. We got the great backup. We're ready to go. Okay, now I got guys turning on Penix like a rabid dog. We got guys quitting on Mike. Guys, we knew there was going to be a game like that. Okay, it just unfortunately coincides with a very crucial first five or six games of the season.
Yeah, look, Matt
Have
Ryan.
Have some faith.
You got to. Matt Ryan had a game like this his rookie year. Bounced back after throwing two picks, a terrible game against Monty Kiffin in the defense of the Bucks early in his rookie year. These things happen. But it's not about them happening. It's how you come back from. Matt Ryan's career wasn't defined by a bad game in his rookie season, nor will Michael Penix's career. If he comes back, Mike, and plays the way we expect, and this offense is on point. So, as a matter of fact, the reason why that only came up this week is because people had to go look it up. They didn't remember Matt Ryan had a bad game
and
like
The most famous of bad rookie seasons is Peyton Manning. You know, who just what, 30 interceptions? It was a disaster. Remember seeing him come to town the week of the SEC championship with the Colts as a rookie, and he was just awful. And obviously the rest is history. But the question, I think, for Falcon fans, which is legitimate, is Zach Robinson the right offensive coordinator to develop Michael Penix?
Yeah, we asked that Monday when you were out. I mean, like, here's the deal. Whether or not he is going to play better this year is one thing. But the growth of him as a quarterback is a completely different conversation. So you can play better. It doesn't mean that he's getting better, that he becomes the quarterback we need in 3 years where he's an elite quarterback. And now these top five lists that they throw out there, Michael Penix's name is in there. That's development. It's not just running a play and executing it.
Wide receivers, too, healthy? I mean, is Mooney going to be an issue all season? I mean, I'd love to, Mooney's got to get open, and then Penix has got to hit him there. I think there was both. There were situations where Mooney maybe wasn't running the proper route to Arch's point, and then you brought it up. Quarterback's also got to be on point. We talked all about Michael Penix Jr.'s accuracy, which we haven't seen, but for a few specific throws this season.
All right, guys, more on this game coming up. Commanders, we'll get you caught up on the latest injuries. 4th-and-1 is coming up. We're live at Grindhouse Killer Burgers in Athens. Last night, Seahawks beat the Cardinals. Big O was sharing something about Kyler Murray that I thought was very interesting that they were talking about on the broadcast last night. We'll share it with you when we come back here on Dukes and Bell.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.